Hey, this is your wrestling podcast fix. Follow us on Facebook at the Inzaguri Pro Wrestling Discussions, on Twitter at the Inzaguri, and catch new weekly episodes of the Inzaguri on SoundCloud.com. Yo.
Hey.
What's going on?
Some good old times, some bad old times, some creepy old times. I don't know.
This is Fran.
This is DB Richards.
Another episode of the Inzaguri. And tonight we had special guests.
Mark Haggerty.
Yes, Mark Haggerty. Who might possibly still be on tonight. Not quite sure. But if he isn't, then we'll just have to reschedule. Do yourself a favor, though, with everybody. I know that you do keep in contact with everybody, but just, like, contact everybody all in one day and just be like, is everything still good? You have absolutely nothing else going on. Okay, good. Because I know the interviews are your thing. That's your bread and butter. And we've been having issues with that over the last few shows. So I can imagine that you're probably a little agitated about that. So maybe just a little bit. You can be a little bit, you know.
Not really.
Yes, you are. Dude, you love your interviews. It's your shit. I mean, I know that you said that, like, you know, people run into issues, real, you know, things going on in life, but still, it's something that you had scheduled, and, you know, you want people to follow through, because you try to keep that day open for these people, so.
Yeah.
But tonight, we're going to be talking about wrestling. Yeah, lots of wrestling to talk about. Lots and lots of wrestling.
We have wrestling?
Yes. So, on this list of stuff, if I can find this list. No, apparently I'm not going to find this list. All right, so let's see. So I'm not saying that either of us have caught all of these shows, but we're still going to try to go over what we do know.
But I would like to say one thing before we do anything.
What's up?
Independent wrestler Matt Travis died the other day from a car hit and run. So rest in peace to him. Sad day in the independent world, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's always, you always kind of wonder what our, certain people would be, like, you know, seem to have everything going for them, and then, you know, unfortunate circumstances happen, so.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, I just friended him, I think, last week, and I was going to get to talking to him for next year.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Right.
Sad. Okay.
Let's see, what do we have lined up here? So, we have AEW's pay-per-view was last night. We'll go over that. We also have Survivor Series coming up. We also have NXT TakeOver War Games coming up. We could talk about the NXT AEW ratings for week 6. And I know that you catch up with NWA Power. We got to talk about that too, because I know that's been your, like, big show lately. And whatever else comes to mind. So we'll try to keep the topic short, but actually, like, get into detail with all of them. So, I know that the pay-per-view was last night, but we'll actually talk about things before that. It was SmackDown and Raw having their NXT invasion, and Adam Cole main evented both shows, and then NXT last week actually came extremely close in the ratings, but depending on who you talk to, they'll have different opinions about that. And I also tried to explain this to people, like, I know that your opinion may vary on this, which is fine, was that so. If you keep in mind the people that strictly watch stuff on the network, because those views, those viewerships are those, you know, it's not a rating, so to speak. I mean, WWE's already got their subscription money. It doesn't really matter. But somebody else was saying, they were like, well, AEW was the one that decided that they wanted to do Wednesday nights and compete against NXT. But NXT at the time had the 1 hour network show that moved to 2 hours on USA. We've already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what they needed to do was exactly what they did last week, where they had NXT on both shows. And then I think, so AEW won the ratings, but they only won by like 9,000 views or something like that.
Okay.
So what everybody is wondering is that as far as the ones that pay attention to this, what's going to happen next week? Because you're coming off of a pay-per-view, which, depending on who you talk to, once again, like, the biggest, the most polarizing match on the entire card for that was Moxley versus Omega. It was mainly because that style of hardcore wrestling that went 40 minutes, you just don't really see that outside of, I mean, you'll see that in the independents, but not so much on the big network shows. So it really depends on who you talk to. Your mileage may vary with that. But SmackDown and Raw, they were very... Well, SmackDown was very NXT heavy because of what happened with all the Saudi Arabia stuff.
Yeah.
Which Seth Rollins went on and basically said that Meltzer was lying about a bunch of crap. And Meltzer apologized. And so that's just a big shit show in itself. But nobody's really exactly sure what happened. The only thing for sure is that Vince renewed whatever deal he had, and it's lining up even more shows. So apparently whatever issues there were are not there. So
yeah, I think it just went over proportion. Like, it's your job and it happens, you know what I mean? They took you off the plane. They didn't tell you why. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the only problem is that nobody's really sure exactly why. Because if anything bad happened, of course WWE is not going to want anybody to know about it, but since it's overseas and it's in Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
news would catch up to that because they love shit like that. You know? Even if it is a company owned by Vince McMahon, and, like, you know, Vince is just such a great name whenever it comes to controversy, so... But, yeah, Rollins, he went online and... Okay, so the rumor was that Meltzer said on The Observer or whatever was that Rollins basically gave this big, quote-unquote, rah-rah speech about how, like, you know, we're all, like, basically try to look like a kiss-ass. And Rollins basically said, no, this is a big lie. So whoever was telling Meltzer that, or Meltzer was just full of shit like he usually is, these days at least. So, yeah, it's very difficult to figure out exactly what's going on with that. However, on the plus side, NXT definitely benefited from it, because they've had a couple of really strong showings. Like, so Adam Cole defeats Daniel Bryan, Tommaso Ciampa defeated The Miz, and then you had Cole on Raw going against Rollins, and, like, I don't even know exactly how that match ended, but it was still, it's still the fact that they even had a match, and yeah, Rollins is, like, the main guy on Raw right now.
Dude, the Ciampa versus Miz match was amazing. Did you like it? I enjoyed it.
I like their promo beforehand.
Miz is always good on mic.
Yeah, but it was really good promo work. It's really interesting to see. And both of them bought a lot of points. I mean, you know, like, I'm not the biggest fan of when people kind of take bullet notes off of things. Like, with The Miz, he's dealt with this scenario so many times where basically people say, oh, you don't belong here. So he already kind of knows what to say because he's probably done it at least half a dozen times. So, but it was still a good promo. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. And yeah, they had a good match. Ciampa looked really good. Like, he was supposed to be out a lot longer with his neck injury, and he came back pretty fast. So,
yeah.
So it
sets up War Games for them.
Yeah. So on NXT. Now I need your opinion on this because I know this has been a hot topic as far as, like, the discussions that we have. So okay. You mentioned. So, AEW's big thing on their Dynamite shows, on just about every show they've had so far, has been like, oh, we're going to have a big clusterfuck ending. You know, everybody's going to come out and brawl with everybody. That's just kind of what they've been doing. And it works, but at the same time, you were saying it works, but when you do it all the time, you know, you want to see something new. So when NXT...
But AEW started doing that all through every episode.
But that's what I'm saying. So NXT had a really good show. At the end of their show, they had a clusterfuck ending.
Because they're promoting two shows. Two pay-per-views.
But what you were saying was, is that the reason why they're there, I mean, yeah, they have different reasons for that, but it's the fact that they're just doing the same thing. And yeah. I said, I get that they're trying to throw everybody in there, but some of this interaction doesn't even make any sense. Why is Adam Cole attacking faces and heels? Like, what the hell is Finn Balor doing? I'm just going to give Matt Riddle a brain buster. What issues did they have? You know?
The Bull Club thing.
But they're not even playing that up. They're just playing it up that Balor is kind of like a free agent. He just does his own thing.
Yeah.
You know? And there is a lot of intrigue in that. But at the same time, where is it supposed to lead? Do they even have a clear path of what they want to do with him? Or are they just like, let's just test the waters and get the crowd reaction. Let's see how that goes.
I really don't know.
Because, I mean, there are a lot of times in wrestling shows, Vince used to be really good at this, where he would just like start spatting stuff off the top of his mouth and just see how the crowd reacts.
Yeah.
So there's that. It'll be really interesting to see what happens next week. Leo Rush, he has his
match for Cruiserweight title
match, and then that's going to be a good match. And what other matches were there like that were announced for the next card?
I'm not sure. Which card you talk about? NXT?
NXT's TV show next week. Or this week.
I don't have anything. That's an announcement next week.
That's fine. Well, when they do have their card, then we can just discuss it then, so. Okay.
Roderick Strong against, wait, that happened. This doesn't help. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay, so AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view. I know that you said that you heard comments of this, and what was it specifically that people were criticizing about the show? Because I want to see if it's the same things that I had issues with.
I heard the hardcore match. I didn't see it yet. I can't.
I know, but I'm just saying, based on social media, like, stuff that you've seen online.
They said the Cody thing was ending was horrible. I need to look at the.
Okay. Well, I'll go over it. I'll give you the positives and negatives of each match, and let's go from there. So I didn't catch Britt Baker versus Bea Presley. Britt Baker won that match.
I hear Britt was sick.
Yeah, she was sick. They're still pushing her as like one of the lead like women that doesn't have the title.
Yeah, didn't Austin Kong come out?
Yeah, I believe so. But they have yeah, Awesome Kong and Brandi Rhodes are still doing their little like storyline. So not sure what to say about that. I mean, it's great that they want to have. I mean, it's great when you see that they're trying to do any storylines right now. It's just a matter of where is it going. So Next up was Proud and Powerful, or LAX. I'm not going to call them Proud and Powerful.
Is that what they're calling them?
Yes, Proud and Powerful. Honestly,
I would have called them Latin Exchange.
Well, they can't. Well, they can't have it too close to the trademark unless they're WWE and they don't give a shit. You know, instead of Taz, we're gonna have two Z's. So, but yeah, Santana and Ortiz, they defeated the Young Bucks. I caught clips on Facebook of the Rock and Roll Express where one of them hit the Canadian Destroyer on Santana, and it looked completely horrible. But he also did a suicide dive to the outside, and that didn't look too bad. So next up, we had Adam Page versus Pac. Adam Page defeats Pac. I saw the later half of that match, and I think these two are really good in the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Page is still developing as a wrestler. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people that'll say that they still are not quite sold on him being like a top guy yet, but he definitely has everything slowly working in place for him. And Pac, of course, well, we already know how he is. Yeah, I think the top spot of this match was when Adam Page tried to hit his finisher, and then Pac, he countered it into the Brutalizer, and that was the same way that he defeated Kenny Omega, except in this case it didn't actually work for him, because then Hangman Page, he did a spot where he was trying to break it up, but instead of like reaching for the ropes, he just kind of dived his entire body into it. So it's little details like that it's like you get so used to seeing certain things that even like small changes to them, like, you know, are that much more noticeable.
Yeah.
So next up was Sean Spears versus Joey Janela. Sean Spears' current storyline right now is that he's basically going on a crusade against garbage wrestlers. And Janela's big thing is that he wants to show that he's more than a garbage wrestler. But Janela is still, like, one of the job guys in the company right now. Yeah. So, Janela had his big match against Moxley where he lost. And then he had his other match with Omega where he lost. And he's looked good. It's just kind of curious if they're going to do more with him. Especially with this match, because Janela is more over than Spears right now, but you could tell that they want to do more with him. So,
and they want to push Spears with Tully.
Yeah. So the ending of this match was Spears, he did something with the turnbuckle to distract the referee.
Mm-hmm.
The referee went to like kind of put the turnbuckle pad back on the turnbuckle. Spears and Tully, they hit a stuffed pile driver on the outside. Spears rolls Janela back in the ring. He hits his finisher for the three count. So, next up was SCU versus the Lucha Brothers versus Private Party. SCU retains.
We weren't going to see a title change this early in the series.
I mean, it could happen, but it doesn't really make any sense. They're still trying to establish the belts. Yeah. So, you don't want the belts to get hot-shotted. So, that's going to be the question of which belt is actually going to change hands first.
Yep.
You know. So, SCU...
We should ask that question.
Yeah. So, SCU retained after Private Party went for their finisher. And Kazarian blocked it. Their finisher, what the hell is it called again? It's like the Hurricane Rana or whatever, yeah, into the cutter. But Kazarian held on to the turnbuckles, and then something else. I wish I had known off the top of my head. But they retained the belts. Oh, after the match. So after the match happened, the Lucha Brothers, they attacked SCU, and Pentagon was going to hit a package pile driver on Scorpio Sky, I believe. But then the lights went out. The lights went back on. There was another Pentagon Jr. in the ring. The other Pentagon Jr. was Daniels, so he's back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The injury is over. Okay, he's back. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, not sure if he's gonna, I mean, if he's back to in-ring action, but he did make an appearance, and he helped SU, so. So, next up is Riho defeating Emi Sakura. The storyline with this match was basically teacher and student, because Sakura beat Riho at the last Dynamite show.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the match, but at the same time, I mean, you know, I don't know. How many times are they going to have a 98-pound women's wrestler, like, basically plow through the division? It was a good match, though. Like, there was a very good exchange at the end, basically, where they just kept countering everything, and then Riho, like, got a jackknife pin and got the 3 count, so. And then after the match was over, they basically did an embrace, like, you know, oh,
yeah.
Like, there wasn't any, like, heel shenanigans or anything, so. So next up, we had Jericho defeating Cody by technical submission, MJF tossed in the towel. So, the whole storyline behind this, I mean, besides the fact that Cody was number one contender,
yeah,
and that's how that feud started, was that Cody cut the promo on Dynamite, where he basically said, I mean, I'm not going to even get into, like, everything that he said, but he mainly said, if I don't win, then I'm not going to challenge for the belt again. It's going to be really interesting to see if he actually keeps his word on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But everybody kept wondering when MJF was going to be making his heel turn. Or his heel turn. When he was going to turn on Cody, he's already a heel. The ending of the match, I mean, it was like a 30-minute match, and I thought the most entertaining part was when Jericho was talking shit on Dean Malenko.
Because
the three judges that were on the outside, it was Malenko, Arne Anderson, and the Great Muta. And the announcers were mentioning how Dean Malenko had his feud with Jericho back in WCW, and how the Rhodes family had their feud with the Andersons. So it was really, it's really good that they're going back on history like that. I mean, regardless of how off JR can be many of times, it's still good that they're trying to bring up history that most announcers, well, you know. You see, that's the thing. That's when you gotta talk about the NWA show, because I haven't been catching up on that, and I want to know how their announcers are. I do like the fact that you said where Billy Corgan is just basically letting them do their thing, so that's a plus for that one. So Jericho, he locked in the Lion Tamer. Before that even happened, Cody injured himself early on in the match.
Okay.
Like, he did a... So, they had the rampway kind of...
Is it the whole why you got the face?
Yeah. So, the rampway is kind of like how Japan had their rampway, how it was elevated up. And Cody tried to do a dive to the outside, and he basically face-planted onto the rampway. And he ended up injuring his ribs, and he got a big gash on his head. So, I thought, oh, he's a Rhodes. He probably bladed. But no, it was like a hard way cut, so.
Yeah.
So, the ending of the match came when Jericho locked in the Lion Tamer, and he was, like, stomping on Cody's head while he was doing it. He puts the knee down. It's the classic old-school Lion Tamer, the one that nobody gets out of. And MJF throws in the towel. And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
Everybody is, like, shitting on it. They're like, he just threw in the towel, like, whatever. And MJF is playing it up like, oh my gosh. You're like, you know, I'm so sorry. And Cody was distraught. He was like, you know, oh, I can't. Like, he just couldn't believe what happened because his mom was out there and all this other shit. And then MJF finally turns on Cody, kicks him in the balls, and basically says, this is my time. So what MJF says on the next show should be really interesting. It was the right call having Jericho retain, because he should not lose the belt yet. But it's also going to be interesting to see where everything goes from here. So, next up we had Jon Moxley defeating Kenny Omega in a lights out, in an unsanctioned lights out match. So their whole stipulation is basically, when they say a lights out match, it's a anything goes match that is not sanctioned by AEW, as in wins and losses in that match don't matter. And that's basically their big gimmick with that. Because they were playing it up that Moxley is such a dangerous guy that AEW didn't want anything to have to do with it. And then Moxley was like, okay, fine, but whatever happens, it's all your fault. So there was, I'm trying to remember everything, like all the plunder that was being used. So they had the barbed wire bat, they had the barbed wire broom, they kept cutting each other with it, although by the end of the match it looked like they weren't cut, which was kind of amusing. There was one spot where Omega took a bag of glass, and it was the same, and they played it up that it was the same glass that was from the table that Moxley DDT'd Omega through.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, he kept the glass, he's gonna cut him with it. So they used that. They did the spot that what's his name, who's the hardcore wrestler, the one that likes to put the glass in the mouth, or the tacks or whatever. It's the UK guy.
You know. Havoc.
Yeah, they kind of did a spot with that where Omega put the glass in Moxley's mouth and then like hit the V trigger on or whatever, and then like glasses flying everywhere. So you had that part. Then you had table spots. You know, that was a given. There was a barbed wire bed that the Elite bought out, because Omega, like, on the outside is basically bring it out, and they were like, oh, come on, man, no. So they bought that out, and then Omega got suplexed through, which means they both got tangled in it. So you had that. Then you had V-Trigger through the stage. Then you had Moxley stripping the canvas of the top part and the padding, so just the wood boards were showing up, and then they started doing a bunch of spots on that, and the end of the match came after Moxley hit the elevated double arm DDT onto the exposed ring canvas, and the match went 38 minutes. Now, the big thing that a lot of people were saying about this match was that if you're not into this kind of match, you're going to hate it. And if you're into this kind of match, then you're going to like it. So, but then most people were saying, well, you see matches like this, you see it on the independents, but it's just the fact that you don't really see them on major pay-per-view broadcasts very often.
No, no, not really.
So, but even the people that did enjoy the match, they said, let's not have another one of those for a long time. They really need to not do that. And just kill the entire stipulation. So the show in general, it wasn't a blowaway show. Like, I mean, I'm a fan, but even I would say it wasn't like they could have done better in a lot of things. But
yeah,
it was still a good show. It was worth watching. It'll be interesting to see how they follow up. It'll be interesting to see what NXT does with War Games. Because, you know, that's their big thing. Like, that's probably the one show outside of the show before WrestleMania that people look forward to the most, at least as far as the last couple of years goes. So, that's it.
We're getting over a cold.
Yeah, no, so that's it. We're done with that topic. So, let's move on to... this is what they have lined up for Survivor Series so far. There's still a lot of to be announced on there. And okay, before I continue, what were you about to say? Because I cut you off there.
So there's Lucha Libre in Newark, Delaware. November 16th.
Is that, what's the company name?
It is Escobar I don't know. It's Lucha. So you got Astar versus Drago at 5 o'clock. Kirkwall Soccer Club.
Oh, I know where that's at.
Yeah. It's a friend of mine, you know what I mean? He's promoting it, and it's Lucha Libre, and people should go out and see it.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for it.
November 16th.
We're going to go over the Survivor Series matches, and if you give your quick take on each one.
Okay.
So, this is on Wikipedia. I'm just going down the list. I mean, whatever. So, first match on here is a Universal title match, or not Universal title match, I'm not talking about, the WWE Championship match. It's Rey Mysterio versus Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
Do you picture this match going longer than 5 minutes?
Nah, I think it will be... The only way I'll see it go do something if Rey gets help.
Somehow, Brock has managed to make his short matches even shorter recently. Now, his match with Cain Velasquez obviously is because Cain's knee is still messed up. So, but it's amazing to think that his last two matches went less than 5 minutes.
I think it's Ray's son is going to come down and help out.
Bless you. You think that Ray's son's going to help Brock? Brock is my daddy now.
Brock's my daddy now.
Oh my God. That would be ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it would kind of be amusing if the match actually did go the same length as the matches they had with like Balor and Bryan.
Yeah, it should.
Because back in the day, their matches that they had on SmackDown, they were fun to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, Brock would still whoop his ass, but you know, they were entertaining matches. So the next one was Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Shayna Baszler. Who do you think it is going to win this match?
See, it's not a title match. So, see, that's a hard one. I wouldn't know who I would pick. I will go with Shayna. Try to make the NXT title mean something. That she's better than the other three champions.
I think that Becky is going to win. She's just going to pin Bayley. She's not going to hit her finisher because her finisher is a submission hold. Yeah. There's going to be something where basically she's taken out of the equation and, like, you know, so she's not going to take the fall. Bayley's the one. Well, no, because they're trying to establish her new heel character also.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if anything, the person I could afford to take the fall would be Becky Lynch. But are they really going to do that? So next up on here, we have the Viking Raiders versus the New Day versus the Undisputed Era.
You know, I would like to win, but they're not going to win.
Who do you think should win?
I think Vince is going to get New Day to win. Just because of the short run that Kofi got.
I think the Viking Raiders are going to lose.
You think so?
I think they're going to take the fall. Because, well, no, that's the thing. It's that the New Day are the ones that could actually take the fall. Because they're kind of bulletproof right now. Like, they can take the fall, and it's not going to affect them. Like, Undisputed Era is big. The whole big thing is that they're, like, the winning, you know, they're the winning team. And the Viking Raiders, I just... It would be easy to say that they will be the ones that lose, but still, like, that's the thing with the Survivor Series matches, that some of them are kind of, like, hard to really gauge or tell. Yeah.
So, the team, the the women's team's not all put together yet for the 5-on-5.
For Team SmackDown, they have Sasha Banks, Carmella, Dana Brooke, and NXT and Raw still don't have anybody announced.
We'll see what happens.
And then with Team Raw, or with the men's match, we have Seth Rollins, and that's it. Seth Rollins. Yeah. He's the only person that's announced on there.
I think Adam Cole's going to be on the NXT one.
I think that Rollins is going to make some kind of turn. It would really make sense with how things have been going.
Yeah.
And then he could just turn around and basically be like, you guys wanted me to do this. You know? So. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to... that hasn't been established with the next Survivor Series. And on that note, we're going to talk about NXT War Games. So we got... Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae, Tegan Knox, and Mia Yim versus Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and to be announced. And the whole guess on who that's going to be is, it's going to be, who was the one that faced Shayna at the last show?
What do you mean?
Shayna Baszler had a match on the last NXT show.
Yeah.
Who was her opponent?
I don't know. I can't think right now.
It was... Dakota Kai?
Yeah, Dakota Kai. That's it.
Yeah. So, Rhea Ripley basically turned her down.
Yeah.
So
because she lost the match.
So the easy thought would be that she joins Baszler's team.
Yeah.
Seems like it would make sense.
We'll find out.
So on the other side, we have Undisputed Era going against Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, and to be announced. And one would imagine that it could either be Johnny Gargano or it could be Seth Rollins.
It could be Seth Rollins.
It's going to be one or the other. And where does Finn Balor fit into all of this?
Don't know. See, if something happens, maybe Roderick Strong might get hurt. Get taken out, and Finn Balor takes his place.
Yeah, possibly. Lots of questions. Lots of questions that need to be answered.
Or they should make it 5.
No, I don't think they're going to do that. Didn't they do that? No, they did the 1 year they had the 3 teams instead of 2.
That was WCW, wasn't it?
No, that was NXT. They had 3 teams for War Games 1.
Yeah.
And that's it for that. I mean, they still have a lot of stuff they have to announce for that. Okay, so we have.
Did you see the Jack Hager tells Rusev on Twitter he should leave WWE?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of the same thing that you said, is that Rusev is, it's literally the same thing that was going on with Mike Kanellis.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is our way of getting on TV, because otherwise we'd be sitting at home.
Yeah.
So, is it an embarrassing storyline? Sort of, yes. Does it really even matter? No.
But if you're watching regular TV, and you're going to see these storylines anyway.
But the whole thing is the fact that they're a legitimate couple. And
yeah.
Vince is known for putting couples in awkward situations. It was like what Macho Man said before. He was like, you know, he said something along the lines of like, Yeah, don't get a relationship with somebody that's already in wrestling or somebody that's in the same company. Like, yeah. That just, you're already on a uphill you're on an uphill battle with that. So,
only if he likes the couple, because he's not touching Becky and Seth.
Yeah, until they do something to piss him off, you know. Which, considering how much of a strong company guy Seth is, nobody's going to deny that part. Probably don't have to worry about that anytime soon. Unless something happens between the two of them anyway. Like,
yeah. John Cena's movie just came out.
What movie was he in?
Playing with Fire. I was thinking about seeing it today, but... Nah.
NXT and AEW still have a lot of room. They still have a lot of work to do if they ever want to overtake South Park.
By the way. Well, what's the rankings there?
Nah, like, I'm looking at the rankings for the cable TV shows. And South Park is ranked number 4.
Number 4.
And AEW is number 8. And then NXT is number 12. And that's crazy. Wait, because they were like that, so like... So, 9, 10... Oh, look. NBA, of course. Yeah, whatever. It's a bunch of bullshit. But total viewership between both of the shows was at 1.6 million, which is still less than Raw and SmackDown. Huh. So, as much as people... Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I always talk shit on Raw, but they're still a very highly viewed show. It's just that SmackDown is now the A show, with them being on Fox. It's whichever one's going to have a higher reach of people. So.
Yeah. So how was your couple break here? Refreshing?
No. No, not really. Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you.
What's going on with NWA?
What's that?
What's going on with NWA?
They're just trying to get started. You know what I mean? Just putting new characters out there and new teams. Saw Mr. Anderson already. Colt Cabana.
How long?
I think you will like Eli Drake.
Eli Drake. How long do you think it'll be until people are bitching about this show? Because a lot of people say that when they finally do catch it, because it's so unique right now, that's the big catch.
The kids in this era, they don't care for it. Because they think the studio thing is stupid. But the old fans love it. They love the whole
set. I haven't heard anybody criticize the show.
No, I think it was Tommy the Dreamer on Busted Open said they should have moved it. Used it on Saturdays at 6:05.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's WCW Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, if they're gonna have a studio similar to how Saturday Night was, because that was a big show back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is strictly like NWA before WCW was even a part of that.
Oh yeah.
I'm always just kind of curious as to how long they can keep the retro format fresh. How do you keep a retro format fresh? It seems that it can only go for so long before they start needing to have to do other things outside of, obviously, bringing in other characters that could give their own little spin on, like, the old school promos and matches.
See, you're like Eli Drake's character has more Stunning Steve to him.
Well, Eli's an old school he's a good old school wrestler anyway, so like that's not a surprise. Like, you know, anytime that we've ever seen him, he's always been one of those guys that you kind of wonder why companies haven't done more with him.
Yeah. TNA did. TNA used him. That was amazing. They didn't use them more.
Oh, speaking of TNA, yeah,
I know, Impact.
Yeah, so they're going to be running. Wait, is Tessa still in the company?
Yeah.
So they're going to be running Sammy versus Tessa again.
Yeah.
Except this time it is going to be for the belt.
Yes. And that looks good.
So how many times are they going to have her lose? They're not going to give her the belt.
They might.
I don't.
It's something different.
I don't think they will. Like.
But it's too early. Sammy should keep the belt.
Well, that's the problem. This is the next few.
Because he's the draw.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Sammy said?
I haven't been paying attention to Sammy. The only person in TNA I've been paying attention to is Van Damme because his social media tweets or his posts are hilarious.
Oh, dude. I'm hoping I can find it. So he said, real men drink beer, not the bubbly. So he took a shot at Jericho.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I was hoping to find it. I bet it's out there.
Oh, that's right. Jericho just celebrated a birthday.
Did he?
Yeah. And the crowd was chanting, fuck your birthday.
Yo, he really looks old.
Yes and no. I mean, the fact that he can still go is surprising.
No, he looks like Rocker old. Not wrestling old. Rocker old. No. He's looking like how Aerosmith and everybody else looking totally old. Face. Beat up long hair. Because they don't want to cut their hair.
But he's a rock star. They all look that way. He's basically living. He's living what he's doing. Somebody else. That's the other thing is the fact that he's just doing too much right now, in between like all of his projects, and wrestling. You know.
Yeah.
And there was no fucking way that he was gonna have a 60-minute match with Cody. But at the same time, I was like, oh my god, he just had a 30-minute match. It really wasn't that bad, though. But, like, that's the thing, is that it's the same criticism that Triple H gets when he has his longer matches, is that he's completely capable of still wrestling, but to keep hold of the audience for that long when you're trying to go for the old-school wrestling match is a very difficult task. And Triple H, he loves his old-school wrestling. He should be one of the best at it. And every single time he has one of those matches at WrestleMania, everybody's always saying this match would have been better if he would have cut like 10 to 15 minutes.
Always. Yeah, I was hoping I'll find that Sammy promo on Impact.
Have you talked to George?
Yes.
So, what's the update on what he was working on?
He hasn't looked at it after that, but he's going to look at it soon.
Okay. Yeah, so we still have a lot of things lined up even between our little break that we've had. Was that... I know that... I talked about this one of the shows. I forgot which one it was. Where... I wanted to kind of do the whole recap analysis show, and then DB has the variety show, and plus then we have the fantasy league, and we also have to, we still have to work on the logos, and so much shit. There's like, there's just so much stuff that we gotta work on, and so little time. Not to mention the fact of, once you go through the interviews that you already have lined up, plus the reschedules, and just figuring out who you want to reach out to next. I still think we need to get Virgil. I will chip in for that one.
What, you want to call him Soul Train or
Soul Train Jones?
Yeah.
His little part in that segment with Jericho was hilarious. I don't know what GOAT is, but I know what Jericho is, the greatest of all time.
So what do you think of Ken Shamrock taking the dick flip?
We talked about this.
No.
No, we did, but I don't...
No, because it just happened. We took the bet on the phone.
No, we talked about it last week, but I didn't...
I wasn't here last week.
Or the week before, whatever. Because, no, we said that... Well, it doesn't matter, because that show's not even up, so we'll talk about it again. So, yeah, Shamrock and Joey Ryan had a match, and Shamrock took the dickplex. Now, everybody was like, oh my god, I can't believe that Ken Shamrock would agree to that, but, you know, that's how wrestling is.
No, because we talked about this when I was on the phone with you.
Well...
Because it just happened this recently.
We had... Because I remember JCL was here. We were talking about it. I forgot when it was. I'm losing track of my days.
Yeah.
So, Impact's Twitter account tagged Jim Cornette on the video showing it. And they basically said, we know it's going to get to him eventually, so we might as well just get this out of the way. And that was funny. So then Jim Cornette, he had a reply to it, basically saying the stuff that Cornette says best. You know, just criticizing it, saying it's ridiculous. But then Joey Ryan, his reply to what Cornette said was along the lines of, my 2-minute clip of that got more views than your episode of NWA that you commentated. Get on my level.
Yeah.
We did talk about that, but it's so funny we had to mention it again. It's really surprising that they even did that on Impact. Because that was one of the things that people were mentioning was that is like a very independent wrestling gimmick that you wouldn't imagine seeing on the bigger shows. But that was the same thing like when people were mentioning with Orange Cassidy. It's like, what are they going to do with him? It's when you take characters that you know that's not going to appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
But as long as they're sporadic with it and it's not done on a regular basis, then it's really not that big of an issue. They just need to pick the right times when to do it. And him doing that shit with Ken Shamrock was hilarious.
Yeah.
And Shamrock's reaction, and then after that, Shamrock just like snapped and just, you know, he tapped him out right afterwards. So it worked fine.
So what's next?
What interviews did you have scheduled?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Let's go into my list. So, LAW has a show up in Kenneth on the 16th, November 16th.
Kenneth Square?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't think that anything ever happened around there outside of the mushroom drop.
Yeah. I want to shout out to the Flip Flop crew. It's my crew. They hang out at the 7-Eleven.
Oh, on a side note while you're looking for that, did you catch the new Terminator?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Just checking. I heard it's good.
One of my friends saw it, and he said that the more that he thinks about it, the more he hates it. He was like, I saw the movie. I hated it. And now I'm thinking about it, and I hate it even more. So that's another movie full of mixed reviews. It did bomb at the box office, though. Like, so that kind of sucks.
So, we have Andy Hedder next week. Icons on the 23rd. Helter Skelter on the 24th. He got rescheduled. Insiguri Fun Day! December 8th, Joe O'Connor. December 22nd, Dave Reed. And December 29th, Frankie Picard.
So we've been mentioning this for the last probably handful of shows that we're going to be doing some revamps and everything to the league coming up next year. Or, I don't know. It seems so far away, but it's really not. And if anybody's interested or has any questions about what we have lined up for that, or any suggestions to what we can discuss, then just let us know. Message DB at Dave, how do you say your last name again?
Brocker.
On Facebook. You could also message James Weiss, George Paul Marino, although message him last. you can message me, I guess, Fran Lazardik. And I think that might have been the first time I've ever said my full name on this show.
Holy crap. You got a last name.
Yeah, I know. And, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Like, we talked about the last few seasons actually, like, doing kind of little prizes here and there. This upcoming season might actually do it. Still have some things we need to work out with that. Let's see, what else do we got? At the beginning of the show, we already said this. You can follow us on Facebook and Insecurity Pro Wrestling Discussions, which this isn't 100% confirmed yet, but we were talking about the Insecurity Network. I like that name. I know that you said that you liked it, but there's still a lot of things that we need to do with that. I like the whole idea that basically that we're just trying to network with as many other groups as possible, even the ones that we might have differences in opinion on. And that's one of the reasons why I said that I like the idea of joining all the other groups, but I'm looking at my Facebook going, my Facebook page just looks like wrestling news. That's all I see is wrestling news.
So, New Year's Eve, the locker room. It's going to be the Chris Levin and Mark Haggerty. They're called the Locker Room Dicks.
That's so gay.
They're detectives.
I get what you're saying.
So what's going to happen? So you should check it out. You know what I mean? From 10:15 to 12:15. Wow, no 205. Brian Bennett is the leader in the league right now at 878.
I know that one of the things that we were talking about as far as like maybe a mini mid-season prize would be like the next version of 2K, but after what's going on with 2K20, I don't know. We might have to come up with something else.
We'll figure something out.
That game has gotten so much flack. Although Jamak was talking about not too long ago that it does have a really funny storyline mode, though, so I might still have to rent that sometime.
He got it.
Oh, he did.
Did he?
No. He was saying from like what he's heard with the storyline mode. And how absurd it is. And I said, it is so absurd, might have to actually play it just for that.
I'm going to give a shout out to Deathmatch Russell's podcast. Check him out. He posts his stuff on our page.
What's their main podcast page? Like, what's it under?
Deathmatch Russell podcast.
No, I know, but what podcast engine do they use? Or what can you listen to them on?
I think it's YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not bad. Also like to give a shout out to Jamak, who's not here tonight. Last time I talked to him, he said his tire blew out.
Huh?
He said his tire blew out. Damn. So that sucks.
We're having bad luck with everything.
No, my car's fine. I just had an oil change, that's all. My car on the way to work today, it said that my tire pressure was low, but then by the time I got to work, it was fine again. I said, oh, it just magically inflated itself, like Demolition Man.
Because the cold and the...
Yeah, no, I know, but... usually whenever that happens, I'll make a stop at Wawa. I just didn't have enough time today, so. Yeah, so next week we'll be going over the latest updates for Survivor Series and NXT TakeOver War Games, and we'll discuss NXT versus AEW Week 7 and the fallout of the Full Gear pay-per-view and whatever other news comes up. Impact Wrestling, NWA, independent news, and social media trends. That's one of the things I did want to talk about was social media trends, or things that, like, on the pages that we frequent, what are the big topics that everybody's talking about almost on an everyday basis.
Okay. So, before we go out, can I play something?
Sure.
Oh.
Performing his rendition of You Are My Sunshine. I was so impressed with it that I asked him to come on my show. Please welcome 5-year-old cutie patootie, Max Friedman.
This is Fran.
This is DB Richards.
We'll see you next week, and we're going to end it with MJF.
Thanks.
Do you watch this show a lot? Yeah, how long have you been watching? How many years?
Well, that's two.
2 years, yeah. How old are you?
5.
5 years old. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
2 sisters.
How old are they?
Well, I just forgot, so...
Yeah, okay.
That's okay.
That's all right, exactly. You don't have to remember that. Who needs to know that? They're not here, are they?
Yeah.
Are they here?
Yep.
Yeah, really? They're backstage? Yeah, well, maybe we'll find out at the commercial then. Now, Max, are you in kindergarten?
No, why?
No, why?
Why?
Why are you in kindergarten?
No, I'm in the Y.
Oh, you're at the Y. I'm sorry, Max, I got confused. Yeah, now, when you decided to send in the tape, what made you think of doing that?
I want you to see my opera.
You wanted me to sing your opera?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want to be when you grow up, an opera singer?
Yep.
Who's your favorite opera singer, Max?
Well, I really don't know this.
Yeah. Yeah, have you ever seen any opera before?
Well, just a little.
A little bit?
Well, a long time ago I did opera.
You did?
Yep.
Yeah, where did you do opera when you first started?
A long time ago.
A long time ago, yeah. Was it fun? A lot of people enjoyed your opera? Yeah? Yeah. So when you made the tape, did you think you'd get to be on this show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who picked the song that you sang on the tape?
Well, nobody told me.
No one told you?
No.
You just chose it yourself?
Yep.
Yep. Your favorite song, Max? Is it your favorite song?
Yep.
Yeah, what song is it?
Oh, You Are My Sunshine.
You Are My Sunshine. Would you like to do a little rendition of it now?
Yeah.
All right. Take it away, Max.
You're my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me.